I'm Steph.
I'm Rimzy.
This is the menstrual podcast.
We can never get the thing right.
Almost, close. We'll get it one day, people. As I said, by the end of the season, we should get it at least once.
We should get it fully synced.
So we're on season three, episode three, and I feel like the time is moving so quickly. Season three, episode three already. But we did promise that this season we're going to talk about some things you don't often hear us as men talk about, some things that we definitely feel like we need to highlight, some things that need to be said. Whether you agree or you disagree, there are some things we definitely need to get off our chest. And in this episode, one of those things is this thing called rape culture. Does it exist? And to what extent does it exist? And what role do we as men play in holding each other accountable or reducing or changing this culture deemed as rape culture? So Natu, first things first, I just wanted to know, do you think rape culture exists? Let's start with Jamaica. Do you think Jamaica has a rape culture?
Of course, bro. Like, that is so essentially, like, we are, all right, so I guess like a good starting point then, you know, is basically identify what rape culture is. And essentially it's just like, it's a concept which pretty much speaks to the things we do, that sort of, particularly men, that sort of perpetuate and make certain behaviors that put women at risk of being abused, being raped, you know, in our everyday life, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, bro, Jamaica in particular, that culture is very much alive here. And it's something I don't feel like we are comfortable identifying, because it will cause a lot of men to have to deal with some very uncomfortable truths about themselves. And so it's easy for men to really to see some of these behaviors outside of themselves and say, well, to see some of these behaviors in a very explicit manner and say, oh, yo, yeah, the boy, if he, you know, the boy, if he did, really, you can't rape. But, you know, if we really consider, you know, our roles, and when we look at the kind of music that we have, the music that we all celebrate proudly as being a part of our Jamaican identity, when we look at how much sexuality and sexual aggression is celebrated among Jamaican men. And it's something that if you don't have it, or if you don't subscribe to that culture, you are basically deemed an outcast. Because essentially, you know, if you're a Jamaican man, your identity is, oh, yo, you are known for your sexual prowess. You are known for your go-getting attitude in pursuit of women, even if women are uncomfortable with it. And not only that, it's taken as a joke sometimes, but we are also known for our creative ways of handling rejection. And these creative ways are symptomatic of that rape culture that we haven't gotten to the point of accepting yet. So yeah, very, very much. We breathe and live in that rape culture here.
Listening to you speak, I think there's one thing that is so profound that you said, and it contributes to the rape culture, that it is only a deviant type of man who rapes, and that can never be you. Not understanding that you can contribute to the rape culture by just believing that it's that women have some role to play in the experiences that they've experienced, whether it's rape. So by thinking, by considering, the first thought that comes to your mind is, what was she wearing? Probably that's why the man do it, right? Why she walk by herself? She don't know. So it's like, we don't understand how much we are contributing to that environment of not holding each other accountable as men to say, all right, yo, you know, if you do that, this, that, and the other. And again, well, it's not just Jamaica, because even growing up in Trinidad and Tobago, that was what, I mean, there's something we call suiting, you know, when you see, yeah, a woman walk down the road and you do that. And it is so normalized, right? And then if she doesn't respond in a way that you deem acceptable, then is a whole heap of bad word and language, you know, like she should be grateful that somebody is calling after her and all of these things, you know.
You know what's funny though? I mean, I'm listening to you and I'm listening to Natu talk, and this is actually coming from a fundamental issue of how we as men have been socialized.
Mm-hmm.
If you really think about it, we are the aggressors. We are the dominant one, and women are supposed to be the submissive.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, listen to what we say. And when you really think about it, I'm just sitting here thinking, and I'm like, there have been times in the past where I myself contributed to rape culture. Those probably are things I've said.
Yeah.
I've probably not done the act. I've never raped her. You understand? But the things you probably say to a woman, you understand? And how you rationalize someone, you know, oh, she wears a short dress, blah, blah, blah. She's being provocative and she's enchanting the man or making the man feel
But
in terms, the reality of the situation is, as a man, we should have been educated that, listen, there are certain ways, there are certain things, and how you deal and how you speak and how you think about a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A woman is a blessing,
mm-hmm,
you understand, and I mean, a woman is a masterpiece. However, yes, our thoughts are provocative. We're sexual beings. But how you let that out?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
So when you
really think about it, like, I'm really sitting down here as the topic come up and we're talking about rape culture, not to touch on something, the music. If we're being completely honest, everything that we listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Everything that we listen, you know. And I mean, the flip side of that also is that I want to say the culture is not narrowed down to just men and women. Women have also adapted the culture now where they do the same to us. But we don't see nothing wrong with it.
We don't feel objectified. If
you are going to speak out about something like that, you're not a real man or you're wimpy. You understand? But in terms, that's not how we should be expressing ourselves.
Which is very much part of rape culture as well.
So,
yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now if you think about it, even in a committed relationship with your spouse, it can exist there as well. Because that person isn't obligated to submit to you in a sense that you understand if they don't want to.
Yeah.
So this thing is actually very deep, you know. If you really
Of course. Mm.
Yeah. I feel like it's symptomatic of a much bigger issue regarding our socialization. And it feels to me like it's a Caribbean thing, But you know, while we're on the topic about, you know, the discussion, particularly, you know, in our immediate surroundings, Jamaica, like, we don't necessarily take accountability, and as a matter of fact, we aren't socialized to do that, and so we just know that we, and the society that we live in, it doesn't allow for us to really dissect and deconstruct some of the beliefs that drive us, because if you question the core beliefs of the group, then again, you know, you are deemed as an outcast. And so what you find is that men in general, we are on a daily basis contributing to this in ways that sometimes, because of how ingrained it is, sometimes we do it without being aware that we're contributing to it.
It's unconscious.
And that's a real problem. I feel like that's a real problem about it, because it's so ingrained.
We're all guilty of it.
We aren't aware of when we're contributing to it.
And so, that is the key identifier of what we call privilege. Privilege makes the plight or the experiences of other people, the more vulnerable groups, invisible. So whether it's man to woman, where she a go answer for, or white people to black people, you know, why them a go answer, them have so much rights, or rich people to poor people, why them a go answer, you know, that is a privilege, causes us to be selectively blind to the experiences of other people, right? And even to ourselves, because you're right, Rimzy, and that's a very courageous thing to say. Right. When you reflect, if every man were to reflect on his own interactions with women, at least one thing we have done based on the traditional socialization probably made a woman uncomfortable. Whether it's trying by every means to get her back to your place and backing her into a corner, and when she said no, assume that is yes, and thinking that it means that you have to try harder.
And
these are things that we come back to the block and we talk about and we run joke about. Until
sexual explicit jokes.
Yeah. Until you are caused to reflect in a very, very painful way. AKA she got to the police and reported it, and then and only then do you start to reflect and say, Jano, maybe I did something wrong, you know?
But Steph, even in that situation, even then, you might, because of that privilege that you speak of, we get very defensive in our situation, and we don't see
what we're doing,
what we're doing, because if it gets to the police, I see you, but I go up and talk to her, so why big deal? How we gonna see it
when we weren't educated? None of us, we're not having these discussions. Nobody's telling us that. Listen, you know. So how we going to know?
But I feel like that's the thing, Rimzy, because of this culture where we are groomed not to take accountability for our actions in certain ways. Like, we're not encouraged.
No, come on. To question, boys will be boys. You know,
boys will be boys. And admittedly, and it might sound weird, perhaps slightly problematic saying this, but I feel like, you know, for men who aren't necessarily equipped with the right skills, you know, the right critical thinking skills, if they make an attempt to try to deconstruct the beliefs that drive them, they find themselves in a situation where a woman who is also a victim of that rape culture, in the sense that she has been socialized to accept these behaviors as normal, and if a man is on a different path to say, yo, like, maybe this is wrong, you meet a woman who starts pushes you into a corner where she's saying, well, yo, you are supposed to do these things. This is what makes you a man. Like, why are you not being aggressive with me? why when me tell you no, you not persist? Mm. Like, you know, I'm sure we've all had experiences where a yep. woman perhaps rejected us, and then when we go home, she said, "Idiot, made her try to tell us to you to try harder."
Yep.
And so, as a man, it's a difficult terrain to navigate because you're trying to figure out then, because this is the identity that masculinity has assumed.
Mm.
Like, how do I know when I'm bordering on the dark side
yeah.
of it?
Yeah.
When the very person I'm doing this introspection to protect is encouraging me to indulge in that side yeah. because to her that is what defines yeah. me. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Man, I get it.
We have a very twisted culture.
It is. And I think it comes down to how much we objectify the human body. Right, and I think the example that you gave, Natu, like no woman can tell me because I choose not to advance beyond and know that I am not a real man, because in myself and based on critical thinking and rational thinking, right? If you say no and I know what's at stake, I am not going further. This is not a game to be played. I don't know what fantasy yeah. I have. I am not comfortable going further.
Right.
Right? And whatever you want to take away from the experience, that is fine. It has no bearing on me. Because I think as men...
No doesn't mean yes for me in them sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It yeah. doesn't. Yeah. And I think I think our masculinity is so hinged to the other. People outside of ourselves, whether it's your brethren
right.
or the woman. And it's like, I think part of rape culture is reclaiming what it means to be a man for yourself and also respecting the other person as a human being, which is why now I like I cannot even consider myself seeing a woman on the street and shouting after her or whatever, because as a human being, and somebody had to put it in context for me to understand. Like, let's say everybody in the street in our town is somebody you don't like or you're not attractive to. Just put yourself as a man in that scenario and everybody will grab off of you or try to pull in a taxi or whatever. How would you feel? And when I thought about it that way, I was like, you know, that's a real thing. And to think that every woman, no matter the shape or size, probably that's her experience every single day of her life. And we don't even consider that when a woman gives us the cold shoulder, yeah, say, well, she a go and suffer. But you don't know the trauma that she has been through.
True. And bros,
I can tell you there are so many women that I have interacted with that have at least one sexual assault or one rape story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a terrifying thing. That's a terrifying thing, because sometimes these are the reports that don't make it to the news.
Don't make it to the news, yeah.
Right. A family member
They live with it. They live with it.
That's the terrifying thing. They live with it.
I'm glad you said that. I mean, I know I've spoken to quite a few women, and I mean, it only comes out in conversations when you connect with them. And it comes out in a deeply painful way. And, you know, they'll be like, you know, such and such happened. And it stems to a family member, a cousin, a uncle, brother.
Yeah. Enough time as the uncle.
Sister or the same. And they told nobody about it. You know, it's until they got older, they were like, hold on. I knew this felt uncomfortable back then. Or even the way, like, how your uncle used to comment on your body.
Mm.
You understand? And funny enough, it also can have an adverse effect where these women go out and become overly promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, let me jump in right there, Rimdi, because even that whole dynamic, something that's very familiar, that's very common in Caribbean household is, why are you aware that you can't wear that when the man them do over your house? Like, what make it in your own house, you know?
Wow.
In your own house, you're telling your daughter, you're telling the female cousin, man, go there in a place, go and go put on something better.
Yeah.
And so, you feel like these things are coming from a place of care. And yo, like, that is a very telling thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you find yourself in a situation where you where you're having to tell a female relative that she needs to go put on something better because man go the boat, then you need to question the kind of man them when you bring around the female relative.
But then you know again, I mean? Not too. But then again, not too. You see, I agree with you. But then this is where you have to really, really draw a contrast. And again, because of the society that we're in, because I'm going to look at it now, and if my friends are coming over and my sister is in the house and I know that my sister don't wear clothes, I'm going to say to my sister, listen, my male friends are coming over. Put yourself together in a sense. Why? Yes, it's because of how we've been socialized, culturalized, whatever, and the rape culture. But guess what? In a sense, also, you don't want to be enticing anything, because we have to also admit that we as men, there are certain things that are natural. Our bodies are physically going to be attracted to a woman looking a certain type of way. That part of it we can't shun. You understand what I'm trying to say? So it's a fine line.
But
because would you want your sister to be walking around how she normally walks around in the house while your friends are over?
But at that point, is it out of care or out of fear? And I think that's a significant thing, because we know that women think about sex probably just as much or even more than we do. But you don't hear women raping men 9 out of 10 times in the news, right? And that's the other part of rape culture, that men are afraid to speak up about these things. But I think there needs to be arousal is one thing, but there must be something. There must be some level of restraint or consideration for the other human being. That prevents you from acting on this thing so easily. And I have to say easily.
But that's where it goes. That's where it goes to the man. Mm. However, let's flip the coin. If I know that John is a thief, John is a klepto, and I put $50,000 in front of John's face, I bring John into my space, the $50,000 is there. I know it's going to be tempting him, right? If John takes up that $50,000, in a sense, hear the dialogue now. Hear how we've been socialized. Who is wrong, me or John?
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Yeah.
Because look, I knew that John have a klepto tendency, and I put that in front of him. Right? I put that in front of him. Right? So, then again, when you really think about it, fear and care, they kind of run hand in hand, because I, at no point in time, can really know what another man is truly thinking.
All right.
You understand? So if I say out of caution, don't wear that around or whatever, the opposite sex is going to be there, because at the end of the day, as I said, our bodies react certain way. That's a natural part that we cannot hide, regardless of what we might not tell.
No, the arousal.
It's a control. It's a control. However, if there's a stimulus there for somebody who can't control himself, you're going to have a problem. That's why you don't put recovering drug addicts around drugs.
I feel like that's a very valid argument, but here's where I would part ways with it. So in the analogy that you use, which I feel is very fitting, you said John is a klepto. A klepto is not a natural condition, right? So kleptomania needs psychological help, and so in the context of what we're talking about with rape culture, we're not necessarily speaking to psychological help, but we're speaking to accountability and introspection. So, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, to draw a parallel between the analogy that you're using, is that if John is a kleptomaniac, a kleptomania it's a psychological condition.
It's a disorder.
That's a condition that right, it's a disorder.
I agree.
So it suggests that the person needs help. Now, to the conversation that we're having about rape culture, it's not psychological help that we need per se, but it's a system of men holding each other accountable, and also a system of men encouraging each other to take on those difficult levels of introspection. Now, there is an argument to be made for modesty. You know, you want your female relative, and obviously this goes back to socialization and all of that. So you want your relative to dress modest. You know, you don't want them to dress too exposed and all of that. So I get that. Seen. But like, even those things, while we understand them and agree with them, like, we have to question, why is it that we cling so strongly to those particular sets of beliefs?
Right.
The motive behind them in the situation that we find them in.
Because, so this is the thing about modesty. And so definitely, Rimzy, I agree with you in the part, in the side where, you know, just dress in a certain way, just in case, because you don't know the intentions of this man. Right. And I really believe that it is psychological, and it's a psychological state of mind that is built into our culture that is not healthy. Right. That tells a man that the moment you are aroused, you need to act on that arousal. I think that's where it's sick. That's where the sickness is. But we need to understand that modesty and dressing and covering up does not prevent women from getting raped. Because even in India and certain other countries where the women are covered, they still have a very high rape rate, right? And so I think as men, we need to understand that regardless of your level of arousal or attraction to a woman, that is not a license, especially as a human being, right? And to tell other men, listen, there have been scenarios where all it takes is for one rational voice among the group, because groupthink is a scary thing, is a serious thing, you know.
Yeah,
one man, and for the group of the man, if you say, you know, say a real talk, right? And I think that's the role that we have to play, because I have reclaimed this concept of being a man and when I say reclaim it from society, and Rimzy always talk about breaking away from society and their norms and their expectations. Reclaiming it to the sense that we are the only ones that we can control ourselves. So it doesn't matter if the woman naked, she have clothes or in between or modest or whatever. We as men, and I'm going to preach that to the day we die, we need to be accountable to ourselves.
Ourselves.
Yeah.
First and foremost. Yeah, yeah. And it might be hard, but that is my stance.
You know what's funny, Steph? Like, I'm here thinking about it. And I mean, we've been programmed in so many ways from we're young. And nobody would have thought of it. That, listen, why they don't teach these things from early childhood, high school, prep school, come up. Have a class where these are what males learn. These are what women learn. I've never gone in and I don't know if they do that. But we in our 30s now, we're having a conversation about things that we should have learned. Yeah, I mean, our parents, our fathers. I mean, funny enough, we'll go back to fathers again, because these are conversations that your father's supposed to have with you and your mother, some parents, but in a wide open space. These things should be taught in schools.
Yeah, it has to be in schools, fathers and parents, but think about how much time we spend among friends in school.
Especially these are fundamentals. A bunch of all of the other crap that we're learning, they could have put in this as well.
True,
because
true.
Now you have a society that is highly sexual. I mean,
highly sexualized too.
Highly sexualized.
But,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, man.
But Rimzy, I know you don't really know where to differentiate or how to differentiate what is what.
But you asked
the question, why not? And I recently came across this quote. It says, if on your journey you have never met the devil, you and him are heading in the same direction. Right? And so, I feel like I feel like essentially we are, this conversation, you ask why we don't have these things integrated into the school system. It's because even at the basic school level, even at the primary school level, we don't identify. So the first step to fixing a problem is identifying that it's a problem. We have not yet identified that this is a problem. We simply accept this as, I just saw it go. And so what's our basic mode of operation here? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, yeah, we have, you are highly unlikely to have that conversation with your father. Because chances are, it was by his participation in rape culture that he got your mother pregnant. And that's a very harsh thing to accept. That's a hard
conversation.
And that's a hard pill to take. Yeah. But if you really sit down and listen to the stories, you'll hear how much he pursued her. She might have turned him down at first. And then he might tell you that, yeah, me know that she did want me, but she just a play hard to get. Even that very mentality about the whole playing hard to get, like, that's something that speaks to a sort of narcissism that is ingrained in our concept of masculinity, where nobody can tell we know. No. It's obviously a delayed yes. It's a yes. A
delayed yes.
But we need to work with it. It's a delayed yes. And so that very concept is what sort of perpetuates this culture where misogyny and all its attendant defects are the reasons why we don't necessarily see these things. And not only do we not see them, but we are light years away as a collective from identifying this as a problem, because a set of people will argue that this is what drives our society. Like, this is how our society operates. This is our identity. But for somebody who might be on that path of introspection, for them, it's like, yo, like, this is a problem. But so it's an individual against a group. It's an individual against years of socialization. And it's an individual against themselves, basically.
Yeah. And you know, you say, you're right. We say operating like this, but operating doesn't mean that it's optimal. It doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that we have to accept it, which is why we're having this conversation. Right. And we haven't even touched media and how media portrays the aggressor versus the passive person and all of these things. And I mean, even
Mr. Gray,
you know, and even in my
mind, you get stolen on that.
In my, you see, but yeah, we haven't even touched that, because there was a study I saw that said that, you know, men that watch porn, when they sit on juries for rape cases, they are more sympathetic of the person who committed the rape, which is a terrifying thing, right?
Bro, that's because
a lot of pornography is housed in the objectification of women, and the sole role of a woman is to please the man. And then you have rape porn and all of these things, and people fetishize and fantasize, both men and women, by the way, right? But we ain't want to have that conversation. It's so much, layers and layers and layers, because culture is not something that is hard and fast. It's so many levels and nuances, but we are only starting the conversation. I think it's a conversation that we needed to have. Yes.
I have a question. Like, how much do we hold each other accountable? Like, and even, you know, it outside of our circle, when we are in our different circle of friends, and so, like, when we see these kind of behaviors, knowing what we believe,
How often
do we hold each other accountable?
Will you preach into the choir? No, I call out BS. I don't care who. Rimsy can tell you, we are all in the same circle, so we know we have no problem if we call out with one another. I don't care if you agree or you disagree, right? So I think it's good. It would be good for us to have to be that catalyst so that a lot of other men do that as well. Plus, we don't even understand. Just Rimzy mentioned, you know, women confiding in him and feeling comfortable and safe. We don't understand how much more we get out of relationships when we understand that a woman is more than just a body, right? Right? When we treat a woman like a human being with thoughts and hopes and dreams and emotions and all of those things beyond the body. And whatever fetishes and all of those things, we can act those out as two human beings, not as me versus an object. But it's a heavy topic that we started. I don't think the conversation can end here or should end here. I think it's only the beginning. But really want to hear from both the men and the women who are listening to this right now. What's your perspective? What's your experiences? Share those with us in confidence, because it's about making a change. This season is definitely about making an even bigger impact and a bigger change. But brethren, I want to thank you for your honesty and your openness, and even shining a light on our own experiences is something that needed to be done to perhaps inspire others to reflect on their own lives and do the same.
And we have to, before we go, we have to be a bit more direct with it. Fellas, hold your bridging them accountable. Don't make the bullshit clad. Hold one another accountable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Without no gray areas about it. Hold yourself accountable as a man, and hold your brethren accountable. No buts. Pause. None. Right, so brethren, it was another very important conversation, another discussion. Rimzy, what do you have to say to the people?
Not a legendary episode.